Philips is a multi-billion dollar company most recognized throughout the world for making light bulbs and consumer electronics. It is based in the Netherlands and used to be the largest consumer electronics company in Europe and among the largest in the world. However, starting in the early 2000s, Philips has been gradually exiting these businesses as they shift their focus toward healthcare and medical devices. In 2013, they even dropped the word electronics from their official name and currently identify as a health technology company. Basically, they have sold their various electronics businesses and used the money to make some major acquisitions within the medical industry. Probably the most notable of these deals occurred at the end of 2007, when they agreed to buy Respironics, the maker of CPAP machines and other respiratory devices, for over $5 billion. So overall, they are smaller and less diverse than they used to be, and over the past few years, there has been major concern about their ability to succeed within that industry. A lot of it stems from the 2021 recall of their sleep apnea and ventilator machines that grew to exceed 5.5 million units. In the year and a half following that initial announcement, Philips lost most of its value on the stock market, causing their CEO to step down from the position that he had held for the past 12 years. He was actually the longest serving leader of the company that was not a member of the original Philips family. That was followed by major losses and struggling sales, but there have been signs of hope. So as far as the decline of Philips, that is the more recent story, but I am much more interested in the big picture here. For this video, I want to convey just how large and impactful Philips has been over the years by highlighting their influence in six different sales categories that they have mostly abandoned. Starting off at the beginning and with the thing that they have to be the most known for, lighting. Philips started out as a father and son partnership in 1891 and was run by members of the Philip family for the first 80 plus years. Thomas Edison had commercialized the incandescent light bulb only about a decade earlier, and Philips was created to capitalize on it. By World War I, materials that they needed to make the light bulbs, like glass, were becoming harder to obtain, so they started vertically integrating by opening their own factories to make these materials. In 1925, they teamed up with competing manufacturers, including General Electric, in sort of a cartel situation to essentially control the light bulb production throughout the world. Philips remained one of the primary producers for well over a century, growing the business through various deals like the one in 1982 when they spent $200 million to obtain the lighting business from Westinghouse that included 11 manufacturing plants. But by 2016, they had already left most of their other businesses when they spun off their historic lighting business into its own company, initially called Philips Lighting, that was renamed Signify a couple years later. So even though you can still buy Philips branded light bulbs, well, all over the place, they are no longer made by the Philips company. Next up on the list is going to be radio/music, and there is so much to cover here. In 1919, Philips started making radio tubes as a logical extension of their light bulb business. That, by the way, was the same year they also started making x-ray tubes that marked their initial entry into the medical industry. Well, those radio tubes led to other radio components, which led to them selling the entire radio, and by 1933, they were the number one producer of radios in the world. Naturally, that was followed by related products like speakers and headphones. In fact, those lines on their logo are meant to represent radio waves. But in 2014, most of this business was sold to Gibson for $135 million along with a licensing fee, which is generally believed to be a contributing factor to Gibson's bankruptcy a few years later. Now, looking more toward the music end of this, in the 1950s, Philips launched a record label that went on to acquire other major record labels, including Mercury, Decca, and RSO. RSO became significant in the 1970s under their leadership after putting out some of the best-selling soundtracks of, well, really all time, including Saturday Night Fever and Grease, selling around 30 million copies each. All of it came together under the name Polygram, that grew to be one of the biggest record companies by the time they sold it in 1998, for over $10 billion. It was one of the first major businesses they sold because it was arguably the most almost unrelated to their core business at the time, which was consumer electronics. Also, the compact cassette, the cassette tape that we all know, was invented by an engineer working at Philips in 1963 and went on to become the new standard for music and sell over 100 billion units worldwide. And as if all of that wasn't enough, they also worked with Sony to create the compact disc, the CD that we all know, commercially sold for the first time in 1982 with Billy Joel's album 52nd Street and went on to become the next new standard in music, this time selling over 200 billion units worldwide. So I think we can agree that Philips has had a major influence over the music industry, being one of the all-time most impactful companies when it comes to radios, record labels, cassette tapes, and CDs. Moving right along to the next category on my list that is related to the previous one, TV and film. Now, when it comes to video physical media as opposed to audio, Philips was less influential, but they did release the first domestic video cassette recorder in 1972. That was years before Betamax and VHS were competing to become the new standard format, and they later introduced their own competing format called Video 2000, not to mention the Laserdisc that led to the creation of the CD, but all of this can be categorized as pioneering technology that never really caught on. But the thing that did catch on was their televisions. Philips started selling them in 1950, but became way more involved in 1974 when they acquired Magnavox. By the early 1980s, Magnavox held a 7% share of the North American TV market, and Philips added to it by acquiring the TV business from General Telephone and Electronics, which included the brands Philco and Sylvania. I think it is interesting that LG Display, currently the world's number one provider of LCDs and OLEDs, started out in 1999 as a joint venture between LG and Philips, but over the next decade, Philips slowly sold its stake in that venture. Around that same time, in 2008, Philips stopped manufacturing TVs altogether for the US market, instead licensing the brand names to a Japanese manufacturer, an arrangement that only lasted for a few years because they sold their TV business to a different company in Hong Kong. Initially, it was only 70% of it, but then they bought the remaining 30% only a couple years later. Next up on my list is going to be small appliances. In 1939, Philips introduced their famous rotating electric razor that they called PhiliShave. Now, to my understanding here, 8 years later, it was introduced to the North American market under the name Norelco, short for North American Electrical Company, because the Philips branding would have been too similar to the American electronics company Philco. But then, if you remember, they bought the rights to the Philco brand in the 1980s anyway, so I guess from that point, they've been able to name things whatever they want. From there, they have built up a respectable line of small appliances that includes blenders, pasta makers, coffee machines. In the year 2000, they acquired the creator of the Sonicare electric toothbrush, so they have been impactful when it comes to dental hygiene. In 2021, they sold their domestic appliance business to a private equity firm for over $4 billion. However, that deal did not include their personal health products, like razors and toothbrushes, that currently make up about 20% of their sales. So today, as a consumer, if you want to buy something actually made by Philips, this would probably be the way to do it. Another sales category that I want to briefly mention, because it used to be important to Philips, would be computers. Yeah, they started making home computers in the 1980s. By the 1990s, that segment was consistently losing money, so they stopped selling them, but continued selling accessories and components, like CD drives, DVD drives later on, and most notably, microchips. By 2006, chips accounted for about a sixth of their sales when they sold that business in a deal worth over $10 billion. It stands out because it's one of their earliest efforts to shift their focus toward the medical devices, happening less than 2 years before that big Respironics acquisition. I really don't have too much to say about computers here, other than the fact that Philips has made its impact on that market as well. Finally, the last category I want to highlight is a fun one, video games. Right away, I want to mention that the Magnavox Odyssey is widely recognized as the first ever home video game console, released in 1972, a full 5 years before the Atari VCS that really started popularizing them. The Odyssey sold an estimated 350,000 units over the course of about 3 years, and even though Philips had nothing to do with its release, I thought it was at least worth mentioning here because Philips took control of Magnavox during that production run. But more notably is the fact that Philips spent over $1 billion working with Sony to develop its own gaming console called the CDI, released in 1991. I mean, it was kind of a gaming console that was generally generally considered to be pretty weak and lame compared to the others. And with a $799 price tag, there was not that much demand for it, so it didn't sell very well. But even more notably, that same year, Nintendo left their deal with Sony to team up with Philips to make some kind of a CD add-on for the Super Nintendo, similar to the Sega CD that never ended up happening. But it's still a big deal, because Sony continued with that project that ultimately became the PlayStation, and Nintendo did license some of their biggest properties, like Zelda and Mario, for games to be created for the CDI, that also ended up being pretty lame, according to most players. So even though Philips was never truly successful in the video game market, there was a point when they were right there in the mix alongside Sony and Nintendo, so they probably could have been much more significant if things had gone a little differently. Looking back at this list, I mean, it's impressive. We cannot deny that Philips has made an impact, and I want to be clear that every category on here could easily be discussed in much more detail, and there are a bunch of categories that did not even make it to the list. For example, Philips has also been heavily involved in making cameras, pharmaceuticals, military instruments. So you can see just a bunch of various stuff like that that I could not possibly cover without spending hours on it, so I recommend you continue researching it if you want to fully understand the former extent of this company. Let me know in the comments, what are your thoughts about Philips and the direction that they have taken? Will they be able to recover within the medical technology industry, or should they shift back over to consumer electronics or somewhere else? I'm curious to hear if you were surprised by anything I mentioned. And finally, as a consumer or someone who works with medical equipment, what has been your perception of the brand over the years? Do they make good quality products, or has it been mostly bad experiences? And any other thoughts you have about Philips or anything else in this video, leave them in the comments. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Thank you for watching.